Hello and welcome to the latest Blood Red podcast from Liverpool Echo. I'm Joe Rimmer, and joining me today is a bumper pod. It's Paul Ghost. How are we, Paul?
All good, yeah. Close to getting stuck into this one, City away. It's always a one that brings up plenty of talking points, isn't it? So, feeling refreshed on a Monday morning.
Yeah, definitely. Echelinda, how are you?
Very good. I predicted a draw for the City game, so I'm feeling quite smug.
Got that enemy.
Enjoy all that smug.
No, I'm not smug because that's not a very attractive character trait, is it? So I'm very tired, actually. Been a busy weekend, hasn't it?
You're always tired.
Well, yeah, when you get to my age. Yeah. Just waking up to the event.
Yeah. You got up early enough for the 12:30 on Saturday.
Yeah, of course.
So we'll stay with you then. We'll stay with you because, as Gorsy said, a lot of talking points. What did you make of the game in general?
It was poor, wasn't it?
Do you think?
Yeah, I think it was quite a poor game. For about to City Liverpool standards, let's be honest.
I thought it wasn't bad.
There wasn't much atmosphere. People will say, oh, it's the Etihad. But it was 12:30, you know, like 5 minutes before the game, not much was happening. Even the first 20 minutes. The game wasn't going anywhere until Liverpool gave Man City their first goal. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. And that kind of sparked it for a little bit. Even the second half, it didn't seem as though much was really happening until Liverpool then got their equaliser and then kind of, but little things got a little bit lively towards the end, certainly after the final whistle with Darwin Nunez as well. But overall, I mean, in the podcast, I'm sure somebody else will bring it up, but I said that I thought City would win 3-0, 4-1, and I explained that Liverpool are a good team, not a great team yet. And I thought if it was going to be 3-0, 4-1, it would be completely different to the 4-1 in April. And of course, it turned out that it was completely different. So I thought City weren't brilliant. I think they were affected a bit by the half 12 kickoff as well. So all in all, it kind of just proved you can't be having those games at that time, especially straight after international break. It basically just wasted, from a Premier League point of view, one of the biggest games. But for Liverpool, it actually worked out quite well in their favour. I think they grew into the game. Klopp made some, you know, it's like technical tweaks, didn't he, in half time, he spoke about after the game. He also made some substitutions, which, to be fair, at the time, when we were looking at it, it didn't seem to make as much difference as when you then sat down and watched the game afterwards. They did, such as the actual goal itself. It was, you look at it, Gravenberch takes the ball out of defence, goes, but I know people say, like, wow, looking just left for Rodri for dead, but he didn't. Rodri kind of got back, but he managed to put it out to Diaz. Diaz puts it across, Gakpo makes that run, which makes the space for Salah to put Trent in. So three of the subs made a big difference just for that goal. So, you know, so Guardiola was doing his old, being a bit stubborn about it, trying to be too clever. Mm-hmm. City have got this massive academy that spends a fortune on, and they've got all these players coming through. When they had a little bit of illness in the camp, they didn't think to bring one or two and put them on the bench. And then he doesn't make any substitutions at all. So if Liverpool end up finishing ahead of Man City on the basis of this, good. This Pep's just kind of...
He's got a bit of raffer about him.
Yeah.
Beforehand, he was like crying it in as if like, poor City have only just pulled together a team.
You can never say that about City. Yeah. Well, the other thing that was quite interesting, and me, Ghosty, got onto this, and they did show it on television quite a bit, is every time Liverpool got a set piece or a corner, he was on his, like, knees, wasn't he? Like, oh, no, I just can't expect it. That's what I expected.
There was the one you tweeted, and it came up. They then showed him on TV just afterwards, and he was literally looked like Liverpool had scored last minute in the corner.
If he was in charge of a team who wasn't so good, they'd have to cast him off to hospital, the amount of it. Just because of how anxiety-riddled he looks whenever a team goes on the attack, and he's managing the best team in Europe, so... That can't be healthy, can it?
But going back to Liverpool, yeah, I think they grew into the game. I'll tell you, I thought there was a couple of players I thought had a really good game. Well, Trent, obviously. McAllister, I thought, was really good. And funny enough, my brother was in the away end. Mm-hmm. He messaged me at half time and says, McAllister's having a very good game. And he was looking at it from a different perspective, from high up, and he could see the way he was moving the ball around, trying to get Liverpool moving. And he was doing that more in the second half. I thought Matip played really well. I know some people say, well, Doku got past him a couple of times, but he's going to get past a lot of players all season. That's just the player that he is. And also, that's where Trent had gone off to do something else, i.e. push forward and try and get a goal, which he ends up scoring. I thought Tsimikas did all right as well, considering we have kind of had a go at him recently. He did better against Brentford. And I think while he didn't offer too much going forward, he did his defensive job pretty well, because Foden, apart from that one shot where he had to cut all the way into the centre of the pitch, was the only real chance that he had.
It feels like quite a deliberate thing, that, with Tsimikas. Of course, it felt very much like two teams sizing each other up a little bit for what's to come. City, like Dodie said, I don't think City were quite at it, and they seemed a little bit I don't know, not like they weren't fully pulling the trigger, like they didn't want to fully commit to the ball because they didn't know what could come the other way.
Yeah, I thought Liverpool defended well, really. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously the goal comes from Alisson slipping, and then you can probably do better with Ake, but then goes into Haaland, does it, and he does what Haaland does, two touches, and maybe Alisson could have even saved that. But generally, other than that, Liverpool defended as well as you could expect for going to the Etihad. I mean, they had the best defensive record in the league before the game, and you know, I think they kind of showed why. Can't really think of too many massive chances, really. Obviously, Alisson makes that save, doesn't he, in the second half, and Liverpool go up the other end. But other than that, I thought Liverpool did really, really well. As you say, though, about Tsimikas, I thought he played well defensively. Van Dijk didn't really notice him, which probably tells you he's had a good game. Matip was very good alongside him, and Trent. It's difficult for Trent, isn't it, in these types of games because he's having to be a world-class defensive right-back and he's having to be a world-class attacking midfielder as well. So, you know, what do you want from him? I thought he did really well as well. So, yeah, all across the pitch, there was plenty to be pleased with. And I think I said on Friday, I had a snatch your hand off of the draw, and that's what, you know, coming away from it, it almost felt like a win given the manner that Liverpool have grabbed the points and come away from there with still on the coattails of City. So all in all, I think Liverpool have got a lot to be pleased about. Not too much to grumble about or criticise, really.
Yeah, it felt like a European away performance, Beth, where you dig in, you stay in the game, and it was hugely frustrating to give away the goal in the manner that they did. City didn't really have to work for it, but it was also hugely encouraging the way they stayed in the game, the way they didn't give any more goals away, and they kept giving themselves chances.
Yeah, I think, as Doyle said, I think if that happens last season and Haaland gives City the lead within half an hour, I think it would have, you know, got pretty messy and been 3 or 4 nil. So I think that's a testament to the resilience that this new look Liverpool side have developed over the course of this season so far. I think, as you have all said, I don't think there were too many chances of note for City, which is a huge credit to Liverpool, because I think very few teams in this league can reduce City to few chances. I actually watched a few clips of the game back on Match of the Day, and there were a couple of occasions where I think City really missed Kevin De Bruyne. Mm-hmm. Haaland made some brilliant runs at times, and there was one particularly, I think it was Alvarez, he was on the ball and Haaland had gone ahead of him, and you think if that was De Bruyne, you can just see him sort of threading that ball through. And I think they lacked that real sort of creative spark. I thought Bernardo Silva was excellent in the first half, and then his impact sort of dwindled as the game went on. So
Dwayne Johnson.
Yeah. I was going to say Wayne and dwindled at the same time.
The Rock.
But I think overall there's a lot for Liverpool to be positive about, and I think probably a better point for Liverpool than it is for Manchester City.
Absolutely. I want to talk Darwin Nunez, don't you? Because I mean, he makes himself a talking point in every game, and if not for his performance, at least for a little bit of afters with Pep on the touchline. But it was interesting because obviously we're in the office, so you're watching it through Sky, you listen to Neville on commentary, and Neville was making the game, and he was almost making the narrative around the game, Nunez versus Haaland.
Yeah.
And when Haaland scored, Nunez had a couple of chances at the header, which was a good chance.
Good save.
A good save, and I thought quite a good header. And then he had the other one where he'd sort of may have been offside. I don't know.
Yeah, he was
offside. Well, he took a poor touch, and Neville especially was using that chance to sort of say, well, look at the difference. Haaland gets put through, one touch, goal. Nunez gets put through, one touch, and it sort of goes behind him. But I thought Nunez, you know, Beth was talking about resilience there, confidence. He never stopped putting City on the back foot, making runs, putting himself in the heart of things. And I think he was everything good about this new look Liverpool team, which is causing problems. What did you make of his performance? I can't remember what game in the ratings.
Is that 7?
Yeah.
I thought he played well. At half time, actually, I was speaking to somebody else who works for another media outlet, who was like, oh, Nunez, this, that, and the other. I was like, what are you talking about? So he's actually been playing quite well. And I thought he did play well. I mean, he had a couple of chances, didn't he, apart from that header where they were difficult ones. It was on the angle, and I think he made Edison save one. Mm. It actually made him save one in the second half that was probably going wide anyway.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
But he kind of occupied it. You could tell the City's defenders weren't too happy at having to deal with him. And I think that's what you need from Nunes, especially when you go to a place like City, where, as you said before, the reason City didn't want to commit everybody up front is that they knew quite well, hang on, if we get this wrong or lose the ball, then Nunes is there with his pace. Salah against Salah, I just mentioned him very briefly. I think there's been a couple of times where he's been up against Ake, and it looks as though he hasn't got anything out of him, but ends up getting an assist. Mm-hmm. You know, when he's not quite there, he's not quite as involved as he should be. He's doing something, he still provides something, he's getting the numbers. And Nunes, to a certain extent, is like that, because if he's not scoring or assisting, he gets booked and he's having a kick-off with the opposing after the game. So it's like, what more job for a footballer? Like, he's always, I'm not saying he's got to be involved, but he always finds himself involved. And I think whereas last season he was more this agent of chaos because you didn't know what to expect, I think now you do know what to expect, and his teammates know what to expect. More importantly, the opponents know what to expect, and that's why City were a bit worried, because they knew quite well with... You just couldn't leave him. Yeah, he did have a bad touch when he was put through, but he was offside anyway. But then there's other ones where when he was dropping deep, he was getting the ball. Mm-hmm. He's not going to be Firmino or Gakpo. Gakpo would offer something different, and it will be interesting to see further down the line of this season when Gakpo eventually does get a few games up front, when that is and how Liverpool perform. But for now, that was exactly the kind of player that Liverpool needed for that game. And perhaps they've missed going to City. I'm not even sure that he played in that 4-1. If he did, then he didn't do very much. But yeah, I thought he played well, and I don't understand anybody who... I know you mentioned, we talked about this before in the office, weren't we, about they're trying to put him up against Haaland. Well, Haaland's just a pure goal-getter, who all he needs to do is keep on getting the chances and scoring, because that's all he has to do in that Man City team, and he's very good at it. But Haaland does. Poor misses, we've seen that. Yeah. And then, well, you could say, apart from the old thing about striker, apart from scoring, what did he do? Mm. He had one shot and he had the chance. That was it.
He could have scored at the very end.
It was a good attack.
Yeah.
I thought that went in, actually,
from
our vantage point. I mean, what I would say about this result for Liverpool is it probably gives, you know, the new team. We spent loads, haven't we, talking about this new Liverpool team, and I think sometimes we just assume that it's the four new players who've come in, but it's not, is it? It's Diaz with a full season behind them, hopefully, and Nunes, you know, not coming into a team off the back of this previous season when it was all falling apart, and Gakpo was first full season at Liverpool, and
new tactical makeup as well.
Yeah, new captains, you know, almost every kind of facet about it is new and refreshed, and I think results like Saturday give them belief that they can go anywhere and get a result. You know, that's the most difficult away day of the season, and they've done really well. Mm-hmm. Where else are they going to go now that's going to give them a few jitters and a few, you know, moments of concern and angst? I can't really think of any. They should be going everywhere thinking, well, we can go and get a result here. Because even when they got beat at Tottenham, there were so many caveats around that result. Liverpool went there and had a real go, and, you know, had it not been for a handful of decisions that clearly went against them, Could have even won that game. So
I can't think of any in particular.
No, I mean, other than the five off the top of my head. So yeah, I just think Saturday's result could be massive for the belief within the squad, because they're still trying to put one foot in front of the other and find out how far they can go.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I thought that just to stick with this Nunes Haaland narrative, but I just felt it quite lazy, Beth. You know, I think it was like for someone like Neville who. I like Neville. I think he's a good personality on commentary. But for someone who's supposedly a deep thinker, to say that the difference between the two teams was them two, I'd say that the difference between the two teams is nowhere near in the forward department. It's elsewhere. And I feel like he's been a bit unlucky, Nunes, and coming in at the same time as Haaland. And that really, he's one of the good things about Liverpool, certainly not a negative.
Yeah, I think, like you say, it's a very... very easy narrative to fall back on, isn't it? And I think it's overly simplistic to sort of compare the two and say that's the difference, because I think if you speak to 100 Liverpool fans this season, I'm sure 99% of them will say that they've been impressed with the way that Nunes has acquitted himself. I think, like,
I was exchanging with a Newcastle fan at halftime, who was saying that Nunes was bang average. And I do find this narrative around him outside of Liverpool circles quite interesting, because He just seems to be a highlights player.
He's sort of an easy sort of vehicle for getting clicks, isn't he? I think on social media for some outlets, you know, they put, he misses a chance and they put him on. He's got to get more clicks than, you know, if Haaland misses a chance. And, and you know, that's not helped him. And I think also the fact that when you go back to when they both, you know, moved to the Premier League, they had that, we had the Community Shield game, and Nunez scores, Haaland misses a big chance. And I think from that moment, they've been sort of pitted against each other. And Haaland's, he is the best goal scorer in the world, isn't he, in terms of pure sort of finishing. And you know, Nunez, I don't think, regardless of how polished he becomes, is ever going to be at that level. But I think, as Gorsi said, you know, he brings so much more than just the scoring goals. And I think to be fair to Nunez as well, I think if you look at Liverpool's attacking options as a whole on Saturday, I don't think anyone had a particularly amazing game. You know, Salah, as Doyle said, he got the assist, but wasn't at his best. And, you know, Jota had a pretty poor game before he went off with an injury. So I think Nunez is just sort of an easy target for rival fans. And when people are trying to criticise Liverpool, he's sort of the first name that comes up.
Yeah. Well, the Newcastle fan was saying that the St. James's Park.
They were two good highlights,
to be fair. He said, other than that, he's living off that result. And I said, well, he scored as many. Maybe it's different after, because they played afterwards. I scored as many as any Newcastle forward this season. And I go, oh, well, the minutes they've played and this sort of thing. But I think, like, you look at Alexander Isak, signed for a lot of money, scored fewer goals this season than Nunez.
He has been injured for a bit.
I know, but he's not... Isak hasn't come in and set the world on fire. And we don't analyse him to the nth degree like we do. And there does seem to be this whipped up thing around Nunez.
Because he plays for Newcastle.
I accept
that's
that.
Just...
I think Nunez has had about 12 goals this season for club and country,
But if you look at, you know, Neville saying that was the difference, I get that annoys me, because I think really we should be looking deeper. I mean, Nunez has been the difference, I think, at times this season in terms of pushing Liverpool a bit further on than they have been. So it's not... That isn't the difference between Liverpool and Man City. There are differences in midfield. There are differences probably in defence.
Bank accounts as well.
Yeah, and bank accounts certainly as well.
And allegedly the way that they deal with the... Yeah.
it's like Hoyland at Manchester United. I feel like Nunez gets far more stick than him. And I know, obviously, it's his first season and he's a young player and he's come in. But, you know, he's at a massive club, you know, probably the biggest club in the Premier League. And I don't think he receives anywhere near the amount of scrutiny that Nunez does. So I think, to be fair to Nunez, I think he has sort of a lot to contend with, and I think the fact that he's still performing and doing a good job amidst all that is a real credit to him.
Yeah. United, I think, Anthony Martial, Rashford, I think they're the ones that are getting all of that kind of scrutiny.
But it is interesting, isn't it, the way narratives have attached themselves to a player, and I think Nunez will always have to deal with that. And there is a bit of Suarez about him, you know, like he's on the wind up, but I think that's why Liverpool fans will like him even more. Someone who was a narrative all throughout last season, Doyle, was Trent. And we talked about him during the international break. He didn't sort of the highs, lows, ups and downs the season so far. And we talked about players that we didn't see underperform, but we pointed out that considering Trent last season, whether it was at right back or whether it was the tactical change, seemed to be at the heart of everything good and bad for Liverpool. This season he's been a little bit quieter. But what a time to sort of come in and make a contribution, which was huge for Liverpool, wasn't it?
I would argue that he has actually been playing quite well this season.
There's been no real talk around Trent this season in the way that last season seemed to be every time he played.
I think a couple of reasons for that is that he's found this position, so no one's going, where's he going to play? Yeah. He plays for England, and no one, and because he's played well for Liverpool, no one's saying, why isn't he playing well in midfield? Why isn't he playing in midfield for Liverpool, because suddenly Liverpool have got all these other midfielders anyway. So there's not really any of that kind of chat. So he's been allowed to just get on with playing the game. And I think that's helped him. And he was made by his captain. So perhaps in some ways that's made him not take a step back, but it's made him reevaluate what he wants to be as a footballer. Mm-hmm. And I just think he's just a lot more comfortable in what he's doing. So he doesn't necessarily have to go out of his way to try and prove himself. And sometimes when you try to do that, you try a bit too hard. And then when you make a mistake, kind of go, oh no, you know, that kind of thing. Because he did make the mistake, what was it, against Bournemouth, wasn't he, when he lost the ball there to the end?
Yeah.
By the end of the game, Liverpool have won 3-1 and no one's talking about that. So, yeah. I mean, we've said many a time that early on in the season, teams thought, well, we're going to do this against Trent. And then he's found a way of just mixing and matching. And whatever he's being asked, he's finding the answers to it. I mean, same as Gorty said before, I thought he played well, really well against City. Yeah. And I think defensively he played well. Yeah. It's like I think Doku didn't get anywhere near as much opportunity as perhaps he would have done against some other defenders. And it's like, well, he got past him a couple of times. It's like, well, you know, that's what happens when you're a defender. Players are going to go past you. I know someone's going to say no one goes past Virgil van Dijk, but that's just from starting to centre back, different position, and that's just a stupid statistic anyway. So, I think Trent played well. And yeah, as I said a bit earlier on, part of the reason Matip had to deal with Doku is because Trent had obviously been tasked with get yourself forward, we need a goal here.
Yeah.
And he managed to get a great strike, which I must admit that I almost didn't see because I was making a note of something, looked up, and it's like, oh, the ball's going in. So like, what's happened there? So I had to ask my esteemed colleague who scored that.
Yeah, you did, didn't you? Yeah.
It was a lovely touch and strike. I mean, it would be nice to see Trent affect things further up a little bit more, wouldn't it? Because when you've got technique like that,
it would.
Get more goals.
It just comes down to how much are we expecting of him. You know, he's being asked to play two, three positions, to a class standard. But he's certainly got the ability to get in those positions, and obviously we know how well he can strike it, how well he can pass it. So it would be nice to see the kind of goals column become a bit more, see those numbers go up. Because he's going to get assists, we know that, don't we? Whether it's from deep or from the byline. But he was doing a lovely new pair of Adidas Preds, wasn't he? Yeah. The white Predators. He's no longer an Under Armour poster boy. He's now wearing the Adidas or the Adidas, however we're saying it.
Well, in his poster, say Adidas.
But he's 25 now, and he's no longer the young lad so making his way.
Nike as well,
yeah, but well, that is
Puma or Puma?
Puma. We saw Puma.
Go and have a look.
Nobody says Puma.
What about Reebok or Reebok?
But he's taken on a new kind of role within the squad, hasn't he? He's not like the young lad coming through anymore. He's played 300 games now for Liverpool. He's 25. He's the vice captain, and he is finding a new role on top of everything else. So, yeah, I thought he did really well Saturday, and you know, as long as Liverpool are able to keep picking him, he's going to keep influencing results.
Certainly. I mean, I think it does help. Dory just touched on it before, Beth, but Matip and Van Dijk are playing so well beside him that if someone does get past him, I thought their clearances, especially inside their own box, they were so alert to things on Saturday. And especially Matip, who, you know, a lot of us sort of ripped them off this season a little bit, but he was really, really good, wasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, I think we saw sort of how formidable a partnership Van Dijk and Matip can be in the sort of the 18-19 season when Liverpool pushed City all the way in the league and went and won the Champions League. And then I think obviously the past few years have been blighted by injury for Matip, which has, I think, led to, as you say, we sort of all, I think, wrote him off last season, and he's obviously out of contract next summer, and that's a decision now the club have to make, because, you know, do you give him a year's extension? I probably would.
Yeah.
But then again, you probably do that and then he gets injured and people go, oh, why are you wasting wages on an older injury-prone player? But he didn't really put a foot wrong yesterday. And I think with Liverpool, you know, adopting this new way of playing with Trent going into midfield, it gives Trent a greater licence to get forward when Matip and Van Dijk are playing so well. And I think what we used to say a lot about Van Dijk is that when he played well, he sort of instilled confidence in the players around him. And I think that's maybe been the case this season. And yeah, just on the Adidas thing, you can imagine the celebrations in the headquarters when that goal went in. It couldn't have gone any better for them, could it? Because that pick, especially sort of is a celebration now, you feel that's going to be an iconic picture, don't you? And he's wearing the new Predators. So, but yeah, I thought sort of the back line as a whole and Tsimikas, as we've said earlier on, I thought was very nervous seeing him playing there on Saturday. And yeah, I thought he did really well against Foden.
The funny thing about Matip is that he kind of demonstrates how it's all about perception, in the sense that Doku got past him in the area, like just, and it with Matip, because he's quite of his frame, when someone gets past him, it looks terrible. So he gets past him, puts it across. Haaland should really score on, certainly get a better contact.
Right at the end?
No, get a better contact. Allison saves it. Oh, the ball goes out to there. Liverpool go down the other end and score. Yeah. So instead of people saying, oh, Matip just got done there, it's Trent's just scored this really good goal. So it just shows that's an example of how little things can change football.
I think the thing with Matip as well is Liverpool didn't create an awful lot in the first half. And I think one of the real sort of positive moments came when Matip did that mazy run into midfield, which we're so accustomed to seeing him do now.
It's a key feature, that.
And it, yeah, it's something that we sort of laugh about, and, you know, it makes it onto sort of no context Joel Matip on Twitter, and he's off on an adventure. But actually,
as we get names right.
And but actually, it's a huge, you know, tool that Liverpool have at their disposal, and a huge advantage that you get of him playing there.
But yeah, but it gets some. I don't know if they showed it on television. Did they see the thing before he did that run?
Did you see it?
Because he went for the return from Salah. He was like,
No, I think he's been very good this season. Midfield. Oh, sorry, before we talk midfield, Alisson, quickly. You believe he might have been injured going into the.
I think he got injured before. I think there was something up. Certainly, second half. Yeah. Someone didn't look right. Whether he's been carrying something for a while, I don't know, but quite clearly at the end, we did think he was going to have to go off, but there was only about 15 seconds to go or something like that. So
Klopp got asked about it in the end, and he said, I think someone asked him, is this kind of proof that players shouldn't be playing at 12:30 when they've been in South America and whatever? And Klopp basically said, am I allowed to say that? Because I just get older and moaning when he says stuff like that. But he walked through the mix zone after the game, Alisson, and he stopped for ESPN Brazil, and he was hobbling. It was a ginger walk. He looks like he could be carrying something, which would be a bit of a blow.
I was hoping there it was cramp at the end. You know, towards the end of the game, you always hope there's a bit of cramp. And Jota, although he walked off.
I think he's done his hamstring as well.
I think so? Yeah. Because he walked off quite, it seemed okay.
He was hobbling.
But Alisson, of course, considering he slips, makes that mistake, I think he probably would have wanted to do better as well with the shot with Haaland. But considering all that, and considering some of his kicking wasn't at his best, like we put Zaire, he made that brilliant save in the build up to the goal.
Yeah,
I mean, he still makes those contributions, doesn't he?
Yeah, well, he's a world class operator, isn't he? You know, even if he's having a bit of an off day, he's still capable of doing something really to a high standard. And I seen some Dean Saunders quotes this morning, and it was something along the lines of Alisson had looked like he'd just been on a 10-day bender, never mind international break. And I was thinking, well, are you not thinking that this is why he wasn't up to it? Because he's been on international break. This is why the managers are having a good old moan about it. This is what they're moaning about. You know, the star players coming back and they're in nowhere near a fit state to be playing. Look at McAllister at Wolves. You know, he was taken off after 45 minutes, and Klopp ultimately took the blame for that one. He kind of put it on his own shoulders, but you know, expecting these players to be at the best for the biggest games when they've only flown back from 6,000 miles away a couple of days earlier. And I think McAllister said it, didn't he, though, yesterday, that he was asleep in one of the team meetings just because of the jet lag and all that stuff. So
That's what he said anyway.
Yeah. maybe Pete Crowett's set pieces and just put him to sleep. Yeah. But on Alisson, it wasn't his best game. His kicking was below par. And
to be fair, the one that the mistake, he does just slip. I mean, if you watch it back, it was almost like, you know, it was the goal they scored last year.
See what he was trying to do, because
it was the goal that Liverpool often tried.
Yeah,
to score.
The small margins, aren't they? And Liverpool won a game against City last season because of that. So, no issue with them trying it, just didn't execute it.
Liverpool scored against Wolves back in September, where their keeper kicked it up in the air, Robertson came in.
But just one of those soft days for Alisson. He wasn't got a little bit lucky with the goal, but those are the sorts of things that keepers have been getting for 20 years now, at least. So, I just hope it's not an injury, really, and he'll be back for Fulham at the weekend, and he'll be back to his best, I'm sure.
Yeah. One final part of the team wants to discuss, Curtis Jones. I'd say split opinion, I think, sort of by half time.
Mm-hmm.
And then Gravenberch came on and obviously makes a vital contribution to the goal. Thought we saw Gravenberch's sort of game and how he can sort of take players on and get them up the pitch quite well. What did you make of both of them, and what do you make of that midfield battle?
I think Curtis Jones, one sort of grievance a lot of people have with him is he takes quite a few touches sometimes, and that can slow Liverpool down if they're on the attack. But I think against a team like City, you want a player who's going to keep the ball and protect the ball well, and that's one of his biggest assets. So, you know, I was pleased to see him starting on Saturday, and I thought in the first sort of 20 minutes or so, I thought he was probably one of Liverpool's better players in terms of there were a couple of times he sort of set Liverpool away on the attack and seemed to do quite well. And then I thought sort of as the first half went on, Again, his influence Dwayne Johnson a little bit. And there were a couple of times then where that sort of issue of him holding onto the ball a little bit too long came back to bite him, because he lost possession a couple of times. And I think that maybe clouded some people's opinions of his performance. I did think, you know, when he went off, I was glad that he went off, because at that point, I don't think he was necessarily having a particularly great game. I don't think he had an awful game. And I think there were positives. But I think when Graham Birch came on, he just offered something that little bit different, didn't he? And injected a little bit of urgency, I think, into the midfield that had been lacking. And we obviously saw his role in the build-up to Liverpool's goal. And he takes on Rodri and picks out Diaz. And yeah, I thought he did really well, and has definitely given Jurgen Klopp something to think about. He's, I guess, slightly more attack-minded than Jones. And, you know, he did well as well. He made a good clearance, didn't he, in the before the goal. We just sort of, well, booted it behind, which, you know, he tracked back well and done his job well. So, yeah, I think it's an interesting one, who long-term is going to get that third spot in midfield. I think I'd be tempted to start Gravenberch next weekend against Fulham. But, I think Curtis Jones, it was just sort of maybe not his best day at the office, really.
What I like about Curtis Jones, though, I think in a game like that, City, you need players that come and ask for the ball. And one thing I like about Jones is I think he's good for Liverpool tactically, because he constantly offers an outlet.
Yeah.
He always shows for the ball, even if he's giving it away. I don't think he was great on the ball on Saturday, but the amount of touches he seems to get shows how important he is to the system.
Well, I think with Curtis in particular on Saturday, don't forget he'd come back for an injury, and that was an injury that he'd already had, if what we're led to believe from what Klopp said at the time. So he was looked a little bit rusty at times. I think his game turned on when his back passed to Alisson. Yeah. I think that's where he kind of not lost confidence in himself, but I think the whole team kind of...
What's going on? Was it 0-0 at that point? It was, wasn't it?
When which?
No, I think they were one ahead by
were
that
they?
Point.
Were they?
The back pass.
I can't remember. Anyway, the point being is that I agree that I thought he actually was. I'd even said that, you know, it's having a good game the first 20 minutes, but it kind of went a little bit downhill from there. And the other thing about Gravenberch is I didn't really notice him as much in the second half until his part in the goal. Even then, I only noticed it probably when I got home and had a watch. I think with Gravenberch, he likes to get forward, he likes to play on the turn. We've seen that, and he's quite good at, you know, moving Liverpool on with his runs rather than with Curtis takes up his hand and makes a pass. But I don't think he's as good defensively yet. And I think that's definitely why he didn't start against City. And I think when he did come on, he did give away a couple of free kicks, seemed to think. I know the image, that clearance, but there were one or two times always a bit like, you know. So, but by then, Liverpool were losing anyway. So he was kind of the right player to have on at that time to try and, as was proved with his Spartan equaliser. For, I think, he's already played more times now, hasn't he, than he did for Bayern Munich last season start.
Yeah.
So from that point of view, he's doing well, and I think he's just another player who Klopp will just pick and choose when he needs to play. But I do think Curtis, if there's a big game happening tomorrow, I think Curtis starts.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's great, Gravenberch, in the transition, isn't he? Like you say, it was a great counter-attack, and that was everything he's good at, you know, to get the ball on the turn and then taking someone on. What do we make of Man City in general, Gorsi? I mean, first time you've seen them in the flesh this season. You're still confident that they'll end up with the title, or does it give you more confidence that Liverpool could?
Yeah, a bit more confidence that Liverpool can bloody the nose a bit.
Tiny squad, haven't they? You know, with help.
Looking at the bench, it wasn't really full of the names you'd expect, was it? Obviously, Rico Lewis is now an England international, but the players like Oscar Bobb, who are kind of really inexperienced. But yeah, I feel as though...
Young fella called Scott Carson as well.
Yeah. Young upcomer. I just feel as though City have maybe even been taken a bit by surprise by Liverpool at the weekend. Seen Bernardo Silva talking in the mix zone, and Guardiola walked past, little shake of his head as if, like, you know, he couldn't quite believe that he hadn't killed the game off when they had the opportunity to. And
did that thing afterwards, Guardiola, where he overcompensated. Oh, I'm so pleased.
He's always so proud of his team. He's always so proud of his team. You have no idea how difficult it is to play against
guys at Shakhtar, is the kind of the way he shone that up, wasn't it, years ago? They beat Shakhtar 6-0. Kyle Walker as well, he seemed a bit frustrated post-match. So I don't know whether Liverpool have got under the skin a little bit, you know.
Kyle Walker, actually, I heard it on the radio where he said, like, let's make the bone, this is not the best Liverpool team we've ever played against. Mm-hmm. Still couldn't beat.
Yeah, so I suppose that's only good for Liverpool, isn't it? I just wonder whether City get in the stride after Christmas, or maybe now coming up to Christmas when the games start coming a bit more frequently. No, De Bruyne's big for them, isn't it? Depends how long he's going to be out. Still the favourites for the title, but Liverpool and Arsenal, I suppose, will be heartened by the first what Baker's does in the games where City haven't been at their absolute best.
Yeah. I mean, this is...
We've been doing this pod for a very long time. That's the first time I've heard the phrase Baker.
Yeah,
I enjoyed that.
It's
good.
It was 13. It was 13,
yeah.
Well done.
Could you be a bit more patronised?
Yeah. But, I mean, it is a peculiar season, isn't it? I mean, peculiar turn of phrase, peculiar season. 28 points. Aston Villa on the same points as Liverpool. But, I mean,
imagine they played well. 4 points behind Liverpool.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're not very good.
They're not very good at all. So it's very, very tight at the top. I don't really have a question, though. It's weird, isn't it?
From a Liverpool perspective, they played Tottenham, Chelsea, City, Brighton.
Yeah.
Is anyone else in there?
Newcastle
all the way in 13 games.
I think that's very, very good. And I think Liverpool have made a really good start to the season. And I think if you're watching them every week, you know how good they've been.
They've only had one game this season where you go, well, that's disappointing in the league, and that was Luton away.
Yeah.
And they managed to get away with it with a 1-1 draw.
And at home, it almost takes care of itself now, doesn't it, with the form of the
game? They have a few difficult ones coming up, don't they? United, Arsenal, Newcastle, so it'll be amazing. They got all 9 points from them.
But those are the types of games, aren't they, that I think I'd always back Liverpool at home, because I think the crowd, Arsenal's 5:30, so it's a good time. You know, I think everything will be set up for quite a good occasion, and you back Liverpool at home. So I think the away's is the one that I think was real going to go into the season, whether they could stand up away from home. They had a really poor away record last season, and they have so far. And, you know, getting a point at City, that's what you need to do. You don't need to go and win all those games, but if you go and stay in them and nick vital points and just stay on City's coattails, because I do think that, for all the jokes about their squad, I think they do have a slightly smaller squad, and I think they have more obvious weaknesses than they have done in the past.
I think with City, having seen them on, what was it, Saturday, I can see why they lost to Arsenal.
Yeah.
I can see why they lost to Wolves as well.
Yeah.
So you can kind of, you get an impression. They're not quite there. I mean, I know everyone's talking about De Bruyne, but Gundogan's the one I think that
he is. Yeah, yeah.
I think he's that kind of player who no one really appreciates just how good he was until he's gone. And he was always the one who pops up from the big goal.
The replacement for him was the third choice, wasn't it? Matheus Nunes. They wanted Paqueta from West Ham, and they wanted someone else to win.
He's a totally different kind of player. Yeah. Totally different kind
of player. Well, they wanted McAllister briefly, obviously.
He's on the bench, isn't he? Was he injured?
I didn't notice, actually.
I think he's hurt. Yeah.
He's hurt. Grealish wasn't well.
I'm sure Nunes was injured because Klopp hooked him in the
back on the bench, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Surprise.
Miraculous recovery.
Guardiola didn't play either.
Guardiola, I mean, that's the
thing. Prefers Ache at the moment, doesn't he?
The cries about the squad.
Sitting
on the bench, you chose them.
I think...
You're the thing about Akanji, don't you? You always say this.
Yeah, no, I think that's just indicative of the two different approaches to Liverpool and City when City had a bit of an injury crisis and then just got Manuel Akanji in.
Yeah.
16 million or something from Dortmund, and Liverpool don't have the freedom to do that when stuff like that happens. You start looking at getting Reece Williams back off loan or whatever it is, or, you know, Nat Phillips.
I think going back to your question that wasn't a question, and you mentioned Aston Villa, I think the good thing this season is a lot of teams that could beat City.
Yeah.
And I think if City were to get... I mean, I don't know how many points they can still get at this point, but if City were to get, you know, upwards of 95 points this season, I don't think Liverpool could do that, because I think there will still be some games where Liverpool will drop points. However, if, you know, City lose to Tottenham or Aston Villa take points off them, which this season I think looks like more of a possibility than in previous seasons, then suddenly, you know, 88, 90 points is enough to get you the title, and that's when I think Liverpool have a chance.
Yeah.
So I think actually you can look at it and say, like, God, you know, Villa are on the same points and United have been poor, but are only a few points behind. But you think, well, actually, you need as many good teams because City have set the bar so high. And there seems to have been so many years in the past where teams have just rolled over against City and had no chance against them. I think that works in Liverpool's favour, actually, that there's more teams that are capable of taking points off them.
Yeah, I think that's spot on. I think things, I mean, you look at like an Arsenal and Newcastle, and some of their more impressive results have been at home.
Yeah.
And that's why I think it makes it so impressive what Liverpool have done in the first baker's dozen of games. Because of all those types of games that you're looking at now, thinking, well, Arsenal have got to play X, Y, and Z this weekend. That could be, they could slip up there. Liverpool have gone to places and they've got out with a point at Brighton.
Yes.
Tottenham was a slip, but they played so well. You know, they haven't slipped in those places. And obviously, they've still got to go to the Emirates. They've still got to go to Old Trafford. But winning at Newcastle, I thought, was hugely important. Mm. And yesterday's points, or Saturday's points.
Yeah. I think what I'm seeing now in the Premier League is basically the... it's always been, for at least 20 years, the kind of league with the most money. But over the last 5 years now, West Ham playing like 40, 50 million for players. And, you know, you're seeing the best coaches, the best tactical innovations being brought in. Yeah. And now you've got your kind of traditional top six, and then you've got like West Ham and Aston Villa are absolutely flying. Chelsea a bit up and down, aren't they? A bit of a mad story, but they're still a strong team. There's probably about 8 or 9 teams in the Premier League now who are really strong. Yeah. Brighton, of course, as well. And like going back to Bet's point there, you know, every most weeks is a difficult game for Liverpool, but on the flip side for Man City as well, and Arsenal.
I think the big test Liverpool's away form was the next three games, Sheffield United, Palace and Burnley. That's the thing, because if you're not winning those games, then what was the point of going to Man City and getting the
draw? Yeah, absolutely. Well, last but not least, the Europa League this week. One member of the podcast really would like to pick his team. So, Doyley, would you like to pick your team for last?
No, but we can do it anyway.
You were insistent that you
that's because we know we're professional. Just because you don't like the Europa League and you think it's a complete waste of time.
Whoa.
You said it's not as good as the League Cup. In fact, you said, I quote, it's even worse than the FA Cup.
Wake me up when the knockout to the draw, you said.
Yeah, I thought I like the Europa League. I root for the underdog. Europa League, League Cup, I'm a person. it's a running theme of my life. Right, so just Alisson's not in goal.
Resting up his hammies, yeah.
You're gonna rest your leg, give him a rest and get Adrian in there.
That might actually be something for you, yeah.
Of course he's not.
Oh yeah.
There you go. Kelleher,
it's gonna be Kelleher. Yeah,
Kelleher. Yeah, I mean you'd imagine the pool win not doing the qualified, so it's still obviously gonna have to go fairly strong. Gomez probably come in at right back, won't he? Maybe Kwanzaa will start.
Yeah.
Konate and Tsimikas. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Ditto.
Ditto.
Yeah.
Twitter. just continue.
Please help. I'm going to put, I don't know, can Tsimikas play left back? Because he's going to keep on playing left back. Maybe you play it because next week that's when they're playing Sheffield United in midweek, aren't they?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he might play Luke Chambers for this one, I reckon.
And Lask are probably the weakest in the group, aren't they?
Yeah. They last.
Right, okay. Midfield, then we'll stick with you.
Endo, because he starts all of them. Yeah. Gravenberch and Elliot Stegum.
Easy enough.
Yeah, I'm going to say ditto again, actually,
Trito, apparently.
Is Joe Gomez still hurt? Was he in the squad on Saturday?
On the bench.
Yeah.
Was he? Oh, okay.
Did you pay any attention to what we were writing?
No, never do, really.
No, definitely.
Yeah.
Well, Beth, we'll let you stick with, so you can't say ditto, would you?
No.
We'll let you pick the forward line.
Oh, it's hard, really, isn't it? Because we're assuming Jota's out. Gakpo.
It's not that hard.
It's basically one decision.
Gakpo, Diaz, and Salah. He likes to be involved, doesn't he?
He does. He never drops Salah, does he?
No. I was thinking of maybe Ben Doak, but maybe you can't throw Salah in.
Take him off.
I'm going to do the opposite way around and play Doak at the start. And if they need something, get Salah on second half.
Yeah, I mean, they did bring him on in the last game.
changed again, and
it was one against Toulouse, and which right. made no difference because Liverpool were always going to lose.
Yeah.
I was just about to make that pun. You make me do it.
Who's the other team? USG, Union Saint-Gilloise. Make a pun out of that.
Come on, we'll give you about 10 seconds. So come on, can you think of a pun on them? The Belgian.
No, this podcast.
From Brussels.
Podcast from Brussels.
So you don't have something spare.
There you go. Right. Well, I think we'll leave it there. Did you want
to go with the scores? Yeah. See the Liverpool straightforward qualification.
Can we spell what Liverpool are cooking? I don't know.
League progress.
Yes, I think Liverpool will win. What did you say?
2-0.
I'm going to go 3-1.
Okay.
I'm also going to go 3-1.
Good.
That's what you line? I guess for the last turn.
The last prediction.
I'm not allowed to agree. It doesn't.
3-0.
And Liverpool can go to Belgium with their qualification secure, and I'll bring me boots.
Yeah.
Like I did in last week.
Yeah. And finally, the podcast comes to an end. We'll be back on Friday to talk LASK and talk Fulham.
Yeah, well done.
Yeah, thank you. Good night.
You've been listening to the Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.